Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Hope at Home as well. It's good to be back in town. I was out of town last week, but it's good to be back. We've been studying Psalms 23, and for a lot of people, that's not a passage of scripture that a lot of people don't know. Psalms 23 is probably, I don't know, it could be one of the most familiar passages of scripture in the Bible. And our series has been living the good life. What is that life that we wish we could live in? In Psalms 23, it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We talked about that. In order for him to be your shepherd, he has to be your Lord. Pastor Kevin spoke last week. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And I love this first part of chapter 3, and that's where we're going to focus today. He restores my soul. It's one thing to say, okay, the Lord is my shepherd. It's another thing to say, he leads me to this place where I can have drink, water, and that. But when we talk about restoring our soul, we're talking about the deep stuff. I'm not sure I like being referred to as a sheep, but I think there are some things we can learn from sheep. Let me show you a couple of things in life that have happened to sheep. We've got a little video we want you to look at. And I don't know if you can, at some point I'm going to put you in one of these categories, so maybe you can jump ahead in my sermon and you can say, oh, I bet this is me. So you can kind of figure that out. Go ahead and show that video if we can. Now, I've already told you where I'm going. You can kind of picture where you are in that. See, God wants to set us free. God wants to restore our soul. It's a big deal. And how does he do that? I want to talk about just a couple of areas that are very practical in life where we get kind of the bucket on our head, or, you know, we want to go free and we can't, or we just get absolutely stuck. The first one is this. God, would you release my bucket of grudges against other people? If you want to live a good life, you've got to learn how to let go, because grudges make you grumpy. There's no other way to look at that. Some years back, I was really hurt by church people. And I remember my mom saying to me, "Jim, I'm done listening to your sermons." What do you mean? She said, "You're just mean." I'm like, "Wow, Mom, thanks for being so honest." And what I realized is I let things that other people had done affect how I related to other people. I was holding a grudge. And, you know, I mean, we're going to get hurt in life. Life isn't fair. People hurt people. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's unintentional. But even if it is unintentional, right, it still hurts. And how you handle resentment determines whether or not you're going to become a better person or a bitter person. And it really has to do with one word: choice. I choose to let what you say or what you've done ruin my life, or I choose to let what somebody has said or done reroute my life. And have you ever had somebody say or do something that you might even still be dealing with it today? The scripture says this in Job chapter 5. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. And why is that? Because my resentment against another person never did anything good. There are people that you might, or that I could resent right now, that don't even realize they offended us. And even if they realize they offended us, they've moved on. And we're stuck with a bucket on our head. We're not moving ahead, and our grudges have made us grumpy. Let me ask you this. Who has offended you lately? And how are you working through that? The scripture says you only hurt yourself with anger. In Romans, it says this, "Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to the Lord, for he said he will repay those that deserve it." I mean, we live in a sinful world, and because we live in a sinful world, life is unfair. And justice delayed doesn't mean that justice is denied. God said, "I am going to take care of this." But what's happening so much in our society right now is that we think that we are entitled to our right, our opinion, and we have a completely divided society. And people are offended over everything. You can be offended right now that I'm telling you not to be offended. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to hold it against you today. I mean, the scripture is so clear. Get rid of all bitterness. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. It is easy to hold on to a grudge. But what's not easy is what it does to you. It taints how you view other people. It affects your happiness. It causes you not to live the good life that God intended. And I know this. God is never going to ask me to forgive somebody else, right? And maybe you know where I'm already going. More than he has forgiven me. A forgiven person is a person who offers forgiveness. Martin Luther once said this, "Bitterness is blindness." I'm going to add, like a sheep with a bucket on their head. "It blinds me to the truth, to what God wants to do in my life. God wants to take the negative, harmful, hurtful things and turn it around and use it for good and make us better for it." God wants to restore your soul. Here was my little prayer. God, take my grudges and release me. You see, so grudges are those things that others have done. But let's just go another step and say this. Grudges are things what others have done, but guilt comes from things I've done to others. How many people are like that second sheep? You know, wanting to get rid of their guilt, and they're running along, but they've got this tire stuck around them as they think, "I'm free." No, I'm pulled back. How many people in this room say, "I wished I wouldn't have done that"? Nothing can overwhelm our soul more, I think, than unresolved guilt. And we're all guilty, right? There are plenty of things to feel guilty about because none of us are perfect. So how do you deal with guilt? The psalmist said this, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and brought low. All day long I'm in mourning." In Proverbs we read this, "The Lord gave us a mind and a conscience we cannot hide from ourselves." Right? There are people who have changed churches because that church was bad. And then they realize, well, that church is bad. And that church is bad. And there was someone who came here a little while back, and I thought, oh, Lord, they don't even know how bad they need us. Because they'd been hurt in church. And immediately they came in with a critical eye. And we had a conversation with them. I said, how many churches have you gone to? We've gone to this one and gone to this one and gone to this one. And gone. Why is that? Well, because they did this and they did this and they did this. I said, no, here's what happened. You were hurt. And you don't get over that easy. And guilt is one of those things. We can try lots of approaches to get rid of our guilt. Well, you know this. You can pretend, oh, it just didn't happen. We just try to bury the past. And then there's this thing, not only the resurrection of Jesus, but the resurrection of our thoughts. It comes back. We can compromise. It wasn't that bad. And yet, why do we remember? We can rationalize, well, it's not as bad as. Then why do we remember? Guilt is, it doesn't make it any easier if we say, well, everybody is doing or has done that. We still feel guilty. And, you know, another thing we can do, we can blame other people. Well, I did this because they did that, therefore it justifies what I did, and we're on this swing. How do you not only deal with your grudges, how do you deal with your past? How do you deal with the things that you feel guilty over? You see, this psalm says God wants to restore our soul, the deep things in us that we normally don't talk about. I mean, I don't know how many of you are going to lunch today and you just, or last night's dinner. Hey, tell me what you feel guilty over. We don't want to talk about that. And then there's a person in our life who reminds us of what we're guilty of, right? So we're like, yeah, let's just kind of leave that alone. But how do you deal with it? The things we've talked about don't work. There's one solution to guilt, and it's you've got to give it to God. You absolutely have to understand one of the basic truths of Christianity. It's this. Jesus, in fact, paid for your sins. Now, should you feel bad about things you've done? Should I feel bad about some things I've done? Absolutely, I should. Should it absolutely overwhelm me and make me feel like I can never be free? No. Because Jesus died for our sins. Everything you've ever done is paid for. Like, wait a minute, Pastor Jimmy, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. I know what he has done. And the cross has never been about your badness. It's about his goodness. His goodness overcomes our badness. And then why do you still feel guilt? You say, Pastor Jim, I've prayed about this hundreds of times. I can tell you something. You are forgiven. I mean, Paul was a rotten person. Persecuted the church, was there when Stephen was murdered. And this is what Paul writes. This is a trustworthy saying and everybody should accept it. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them all. Pastor Kevin talked about that this Wednesday. I thought, man, that works perfect for Sunday. So I asked him, hey, where was that verse again? He showed me. I thought, boy, that fits just perfect right here. Thank you, Pastor Kevin. It says, but God had mercy on me so that Christ could use me as a prime example of his great patience, even with the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. How do you get forgiveness? Well, you don't beg God. You don't bargain with God. You don't try to bribe God. Well, I'll do this, God, if you'll just take care of that. God, please help me, God. No. You accept the free gift that God has given. And if you are still feeling guilty about what you've done, it's not God. It is Satan himself. And here's how he does sin in our lives. Hey, that's not bad. No, that's not bad at all. Well, okay. Then as soon as we do what we ought not to do, oh, you're terrible. Nobody has done that. You are so bad, there is no way that God can accept you. You are the wretch of all wretched people. Now, don't get me wrong. If you've done something wrong and you can fix it, then fix it. But there's sometimes we've done things you really can't fix. And that's why Jesus died. He died to help you with your grudges because they make you really grumpy and they make people around you miserable. You've got to deal with that. That's why he wants to restore your soul. But it's not just what others have done to you. It's what you and I, what we have done. And we're guilty. And that's exactly why Jesus Christ died. In Colossians, it says, he has forgiven all your sins. He has utterly wiped out the evidence of broken commandments, which always hung over our hearts and completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. I know this works. You have to trust that Jesus was nailed to the cross for your sins. You have to trust that when he forgives you completely and God chooses never to remember that again, that he was serious about that and that you can do the same thing. It absolutely is revolutionary in your life if you can connect with God in such a way that you let go of some grudges and you get over some guilt. He restores my soul. You want to live the good life? Then release your grudges. Let God rework your guilt. And here's just one other I want to talk about. Let God bring relief in your grief. How many people have felt like that poor little sheep that got pulled out of the ditch and, oh, my life is perfect now. Boom, back into the ditch. And that last sheep, I didn't realize that sheeps have a back that's flat. And if a sheep is stuck on its back, it's like stuck there. It can't go anywhere. What did I do in preparation for my sermon? I watched, I don't know if it was an hour or several hours of sheep. Pastor Kevin came in here, here's just my office. Bah, bah, like, what are you doing? The Lord and I are preparing for my sermon from YouTube. You've got to Google this. A sheep, when it's stuck on his back, it can't move. Its legs go stiff. And it'll, bah, bah, and then they die on their back. What? We've all been like that. Ah! I was going to say that's a bad idea, but that was really bad. But you know you kind of want to do that. We'll do it at the end. So you think about this. There's things in life that we grieve. We grieve when we see people who are hurting. Even in our family, when we see destructive behaviors or we see people are hurting, we grieve that. I mean, life is so crazy. It can make us hurt so bad. It feels like we are stuck in a ditch with no way out. It feels like we're stuck on our back and it's about over. I mean, you and I know that this isn't heaven. And on this earth, which is really sad and really hard, your heart is going to be broken. And there are times when you are going to feel absolutely alone. There are days when you're going to experience sorrow, loss, and such overwhelming emotion that it's almost like you can't even move forward one step. And when the psalmist talks about him restoring your soul, this is a big deal. Disneyland cannot restore your soul. It can make you happy while you're there, unless you bring small children. And then there are moments of preciousness. Whatever that activity is that you like to do, it'll make you happy for a little while. But how many people go on vacation and have been rested and then they're still not rested? We're talking about the deep, deep parts of us, our soul. Loss, overwhelming emotion can make us absolutely feel like we cannot move another day. In my life, there are times when I've needed to be reminded that God knows what I'm going through. He not only knows what I'm going through, God has hurt with me. God hurts with you. He cares about your hurt. And the truth is, Hope Church, when you're going through a crisis, would try to be a family to you. But the only one who is able to restore your soul is God Almighty. Jesus Christ is the only one who can replace that emptiness and give you relief in your grief. I mean, what do you do when grief overwhelms you? I mean, we can have a mega pity party, and sometimes I'll say we deserve it because life can be so hard. We can play the if only game, right? If only I would have or could have or should have, maybe this wouldn't have happened. And maybe there's some truth to that, but you can't live there. You can be miserable the rest of your life because of something that has happened. And maybe you would say, I have a right to be. You have a right to be, but I can tell you there's another way. There's another way. It's allowing God to restore your soul, and God can give us relief in our grief. You say, how can that happen? Very practically, and this isn't harsh, this is just reality. We have to accept what can't be changed. You've been hurt by somebody. There has been a tragedy. There has been an event that has absolutely flipped you on your back and you cannot even breathe. That will not change the past. We have to accept what we can't change. I mean, emotional health, restoring of our soul, all of those things is realizing I can't change what happened. And when our little boy died, I couldn't change that. But it took me a long time to figure out how to survive another day. It took me a long time to figure out what we're talking about. Healing in our mind and our emotions comes from intentional Christianity. Pain is inevitable. Pain is inevitable, but listen to me. Misery is optional. And life, oh my goodness, it can be hard. It can be so harsh. But God just doesn't want to help you with your grudges. God doesn't want to help you just with your grief. God wants to help you with your, He wants to help you with your grief. He wants to help you with that guilt. So I have to accept what I cannot change. The Bible says in Psalm 28, commit your ways to the Lord. We choose, and oh, this is hard, and I've had to live this. We choose not to live in devastation. And it is a choice. Because everything in us says, because of this, I am on my back and I am done. And I can't move out of this. I can't move past this. God, give me relief in my grief. God, I love this. He understands when life is hard. You know, people try to make excuses when life is hard. No, God didn't make any excuses. It was really hard on His Son when He was murdered. Really hard. And God gave His Son. He understands the pain that we feel. God absolutely understands that. And there's nothing in me today, and you cannot take me wrong, there's nothing in me today that says you don't deserve to hurt when you are hurt. You don't deserve to grieve when life has thrown you something that you had no idea it was coming and it was an absolute tragedy. But there is a way out of that. And it's hard, and it's slow, and it's daily. And we have to commit our ways to the Lord. That was the best advice I was ever given when I was in seminary and had to flunk out when our little boy died, then try to start it up again. I went to a counselor and I said, what do you do? He says, you got to focus on the Lord. I don't want to focus on the Lord. I'm kind of mad at the Lord. He should have never let this happen. Well, where was He? Well, same place when His Son was murdered, on the throne. And that was hard to hear, but it was true. And the only thing that got me from there to here is focusing on the Lord. Two things I had to do. I had to accept what I couldn't change, and then I had to focus on what was left and not what was lost. Focus on what was left and not what was lost. I remember coming home. Life was really hard, and our son Kevin was just a little boy, and he looked up at his mama and he said, Mama, this is very hard, but God is going to give you strength. It's a little 3-year-old kid. And that was truth right out of the mouth of Jesus. When life is hard, and friends, it is going to get hard. Because we're not in heaven yet, right? And life is going to be hard. But we have to focus on what's left and not what's been lost. Doesn't mean we forget that. I never forget that. Some of us are grieving right now. And it hurts, but to keep you from being stuck in a ditch for the rest of your life or on your back, you have to let Christ help you with your emotions. And Christ is not above you telling him exactly how you feel with this. I mean, he died for us. You think he doesn't want to hear exactly where we're at? So God, we need you to help us let go of our grudges. God, we need you to help us get over our guilt. And God, we need relief in our grief. Three quick questions. If God were to ask you right now, who are you holding a grudge against? Would you be able to say, nobody? Or if God were to ask you, no, seriously, who are you holding a grudge against? What would you say? In a way, he's asking you, take the bucket off of your head. Go enjoy the pasture. No, God, I like being a buckethead. No, you don't, and neither have I. But when you don't deal with your grudges, they'll deal with you. And they'll deal with you in a way that you'll deal with other people. What kind of guilt are you carrying right now? Where you're like that cute little sheep. I'm stuck back in the guilt. Oh, I'm free. Oh, I'm really not free. That was my acting career. Debuted right in front of you. You think God wants you stuck on a swing of guilt for the rest of your life? There's no way. So if God were to ask you right now, what have I not forgiven you for? What would you say? It's really important that we let go of some of that. And I know this is hard. What grief right now has you incapacitated? I hate that life can be hard. But gosh, it just is. And that's why we need to understand this verse in Psalms 23. He restores my soul. The deepest things that we don't like to talk about, and even having you look at this in yourself today is not super fun, except for the fact that you can know this. There is hope. He can restore your soul. He can help you with being such a resentful person. He can help you with just these feelings that I can never get away from what I've done. It's what you've done. It doesn't have to be who you are. And that grief of things that were done to you, it's not just a grudge. It's like this is life-altering. Or the thing that happened that you had no control over, and there was a tragedy. Or it was a choice that somebody made. And you have to deal with the consequences, and we grieve those things. Here's my prayer today for all of us. That God would, in fact, restore our soul. We're going to sing one last song this morning as they're starting to come and prepare for that. I want to pray for each of us And you already know what I'm going to pray for. Do you have a grudge you need to let go of? I want to pray with you that God will help you do that. Do you have guilt that you need to let go of? I want to pray that God will help you do that. And I want to pray if you have grief that God will bring relief. And I know what I'm talking about today. There are so many circumstances and it's just not this simple. But in a way it is, because it's practical, biblical Christianity. And that if God cannot help you with your grief, then God cannot help you with anything. And if God cannot help you with your guilt, then what can God help you with? And if God can't help you with your grudges, well then, how do you approach eternity? You think you're going to be grumpy in heaven? I hope I'm not. Jim didn't have to come. He's grumpy up here. How about we live like there's a little heaven here on earth? For God Almighty to do what you and I cannot do for ourselves. Come on, if you could have changed yourself, you'd already been perfect. If I could have changed me, I'd already been perfect. That's why we need the Lord. That's why we need biblical Christianity, that He can do what we can't do. And He can actually give us, He can give us hope when there's so much hurt. He can give us help to let go of the things we've done. And because of His forgiveness, I guarantee you we become more forgiving. But we've got to be honest. All right, let's pray together. Father, oh, You are a good God. Oh, You are a good God. You allowed Your Son to die for us. And God, I want to pray. Maybe there's people I don't even know here today, and there's people I do know here, and I don't know all of their situations, but I know this. If we're holding a grudge, You want to help us. I know this, if we're feeling guilty, You want to forgive us. We don't need a self-help book. We need Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And I know, Lord, that when I was hurt, the only thing that truly helped me was You touching my heart, literally touching my heart in my darkest days. Maybe God's dealing with you today because He loves you and He wants this psalm not to be a psalm. He wants it to be a reality for you. As David reflects back on his life and he says, He's my shepherd, He leads me, but He also restores my soul. Maybe there's some grudges that you need to give to God right now. Maybe there's some guilt you need to give to God right now. Maybe there's that glimmer of hope that you could have relief in some of that grief. If any of that, God's saying, hey, He's talking to you. I want to pray with you and for you in a very reverent way before the Lord. This is between you and the Lord, and I want to pray with you regarding that. I want you just real quick to look up at me and say, Pastor Jim, I think something you said today, you're talking about me. Our students are honest. Yeah, I want to pray with you. And I love you guys. If you're new here to Hope Church, you better realize I love this church. Love the people in this church. They matter to me, and they really matter to God. And what an honor I have today to pray with you a prayer of hope and a prayer of healing and a prayer of help. I care about you all. Let's pray together, and then we'll stand and actually worship. It's different than singing. Worship is letting go. Even as we're singing this, you worship and say, God, I'm dumping this one. I'm taking the bucket off my head. I'm getting out of this swing. I don't want to stay on my back forever. I don't want to stay in a ditch forever. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we lean into your goodness and not our badness. We lean into your forgiveness and help us to be forgiving. God, there are people we've held grudges against, and we just need to let it go. Of course they're not going to say sorry, but it's bound us. They don't have to say sorry. We have the power to forgive them and not let something that's been done a long time ago continue to affect our life. We have that power. They don't have that power. God, I pray right now that we let that go in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who just still struggle with guilt. They can't get over the things they've done, and God, you have forgotten those things. You're not reminding them of those things. They can be a guidepost so we don't do those things anymore. They don't need to be a hitching post that the devil uses against us to say we can never, ever have a relationship with God and others because of this. God, do not let us believe a lie. Forgive us of our sins. Come into our hearts, God. We confess our sins. You are faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of our unrighteousness. If we can't believe what that says in 1 John 1:9, then we can't believe any of it. And God, I know, oh gosh, do I know what it is to have grief, to be so mad at you, anything to do with you. And then literally you have restored my soul. I pray for those who are grieving right now. It could be so many things. I pray for relief in that grief. It's not that we're going to forget. It's that we're going to be healed. It's not that we're going to deny. We're not going to, I wish I could have, should have. We're going to let go, and we're going to let our soul be restored. God, I don't doubt that this could be instantaneous, but I've lived long enough to know that for some of us, it's a process. But a little bit of relief is better than being overwhelmed with grief. Father, I pray for those who are grieving. I don't know what it is, but God, you know. You know, and you had me share today this, that they would find hope and they would find healing and one more step to feeling their heart beat again. Help us to remember what we have and not just that which we have lost. God, we are alive for a purpose, and our pain can bring comfort to somebody else someday, but we've got to be able to deal with you honestly, and some of us are still are just mad at you, and it's okay. God, I pray that you literally would restore our souls, that we might enjoy the green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing this last song.